Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. This is issue 86 after a little break. I needed a break myself, so I called an audible and we took some time off. We need to every once in a while refresh the batteries, get out, have a little fun. But we are here once again, like we always are. Of course, I am here with my trusty companion, my sidekick, my Cheech to my Chong. How you doing, man? Kane.
It's going to light up a little bit in honor of Cheech and Chong. Spark it up. You got him. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great.
Glad to see you're back after your little vacation.
Hey, I need it. I think we all need it every once in a while.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I feel... I don't know. After we did a Midnight Movies last night, and after you left the air, one of our co-hosts we were with last night, we stuck around a little after hours at the Kane Lounge, and it was a good time. We were talking about movies and comics and just catching up, and I think he'll definitely be back on another future episode of Midnight Movies, and maybe a future episode of the podcast.
He seemed like he had fun, and I had fun, you know, having somebody else there. No, you know, no offense to you, but it's always good to have fresh blood.
Yeah,
you know,
course,
new perspective is always fun. And what did we do last night?
We did Halloween 2018.
And why did we do Halloween 2018?
Because it is the month long celebration of the Heroes Asylum, which is the sister part of Midnight Movies, or the other way around, and we are doing all Halloween movies for the entire month. First one was Halloween 2018, which was the sequel to the original Halloween movie from 1977. And we're going to continue along with that with next Saturday. We're doing Aliens, or Alien, from 1979. So
very cool.
It should be fun.
Very cool. Yeah, we're going to – yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am – I'm not the avid Halloween buff or horror fan that Kane is, but I definitely am a horror fan. I do enjoy my horror novels. And there are some books out there and some – shows out there that I enjoy. I'm a big fan of rewatching it just, you know, because of Halloween, but Haunting at Hill House, the series that's on
I haven't watched
Hulu,
it.
I think it is.
The only thing I've seen was the movie.
Yeah, the novel's the really good. The novel like gets into some weird stuff, especially the first episode. I mean, a couple of times I was a little jumpy. But did you see, I know we got like a lot of news and a lot of shit to catch up on. Did you happen to see about the Guillermo del Toro's the canceled Justice League script that got leaked?
I Justice saw Dark. The article, but I didn't get a chance to read that, it. Did you read it?
I read a little bit about it. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Of course, you know, we know Del Toro, man, kills horror. If nobody is, you know, everybody knows he's on Hellboy, but most people, you know, knew he was part of the TV series Strain, but he actually was one of the authors of The Strain. You know, and also, of course, you know, probably one of our favorite Blade movies, Blade 2, with Mr. Hellboy himself in there. So,
yeah, Ronnie Perlman.
And I always forget about it until I see the vampires in Blade, because when you see the vampires in Strain, you're like, oh, they're ripping off Blade, but they really weren't. They were kind of made by the same creator. Because when they changed,
what, is he ripping off himself?
Yeah, basically, I guess he was paying homage to himself. I mean, it's. I don't know, but
they
would
called vampires in The Strain. They were called the
Sigourney. Yeah. But I mean, it's basically the legend of the vampires.
Yeah,
same thing. And I always thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, no, I would have loved to see him. Not that I'm saying not against seeing what they're going to do now with Bad Robot and in that group. But I think I don't know. I think it would have been a really interesting take, especially his take on the darker side of the dark, I guess you could say. But I think with him, like with Swamp Thing, I think he would have had an amazing like take on the Swamp Thing. And I know you're a Swamp Thing mark from back in the day.
Yeah, way back in the day. The Alan Moore run, which is my favorite run, where he actually, you find out that the swamp is connected to hell somehow, and he has to go save Abby Arcane from going. I think she's dragged to hell, and he has to go to hell, make a deal. Constantine's involved. It's a really cool storyline. I forgot. I know Alan Moore wrote it, and I have it somewhere buried in the Kane files here. So maybe I'll bring it out one of these days and start reading. I usually read it about once a year. It's fun. Well, that's one of my favorite Swamp Thing runs.
It is the time, and you got Swamp Thing the series coming out finally on CW, and you see that they're doing all the posters. They're doing a Swamp theme.
I can't wait, and I hope when the people who actually haven't seen it, because it was in the DC streaming service, and you know, for us, we've seen it about a year ago. I think that was on.
Yeah, I believe a year ago.
So they haven't got a chance to see it. And I can't wait, and hopefully it'll just, you know, fingers crossed, with enough eyes on it, maybe, mm-hmm. possibly, you know, thrown on CW, which I hope they don't do CW. Throw on an HBO Max, but, you know.
There is because
the way it was made, I don't think it's kind of constitutes to be a CW series.
It does, and so it doesn't. The romance is CW, definitely. If I was going to call anything that DC Universe ever did a CW type show, other than Stargirl, but I think Swamp Thing was because of the Abby Arcane and the Swamp Thing, you know, untangible romance. That's the epic Romeo and Juliet story right there for you, if you really want to look at it. And then what else, you know, do you have, you know, with the CW, but the intangible, you know, my the daughter of the guy that raised me, we shouldn't be together. That's kind of wrong. And then, you know, the same thing with Arrow and all of his love interests throughout the CW. I think they fit better. But I know what you mean, that you want to see the more of the dark side, that you don't think CW would be willing to make that risk. I definitely
They dip their toe in it sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll get hopeful, but they never go all the way. Let's just be honest. They have moments. I think the episode I saw with Legends of Tomorrow, and I think that was one of your favorites, where they had Constantine, where he goes into, supposedly it's supposed to be Constantine's house from the comics.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Hell House, but it wasn't. It was their version of Hell House, but it wasn't the one we know from Matt Ryan's Constantine. So.
Mm. And I believe in the animated movie, Justice League Dark, the Hell House does show up. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah, because that's where Batman and Zatanna were running off to with Boston Brand. They were running off to go find Constantine, and they found the Hell House because he was surprised. How did you find me? Because it's always constantly changing. And then Hell House turned into a spirit, a woman spirit, and that's where Boston Brand kind of, you know, was feeling like he was getting his love redemption, which I thought was kind of nice for Boston.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool.
He needs a little you know,
something.
Astral plane, you know, booty call, whatever you want to call it.
Unless they have a Tinder out there in the spiritual realm or the astral plane. I mean, I don't know how that would work. I mean, is Constantine going to be the guy, hey, mate, you know, I'm going to hook you up with this chick. She died in 1976.
So would it then officially truly be called a boo tea call?
But yeah.
Sorry, don't unfriend us, guys. Don't unfriend us. Sorry, don't unsubscribe. Sorry, it was a bad joke.
Come on, just like and share. You want this? What you get?
We're all about the bad puns here, guys.
Oh God, you should see us off air. I mean, everything is bad puns, bad. But
what else did we miss? Justice League, because they were talking about, of course, you know, the Constantine and Zatanna. They're talking about possibly doing a series there. What do you think on that one?
Why not? I'm all about, like, I mean, this is a question that we can go back in time in the annals and look at the oral archives, and I think we've always been on board for anything Justice League Dark, because it's such an untapped thing that they haven't touched yet. I mean, yes, the animated world, and we were getting it in Swamp Thing. That's what kind of makes me mad, is I like that series so much, not only because of the Swamp Thing, but because they were dipping that toe into that magical realm.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the Blue Demon, which I couldn't believe. We saw the Phantom Stranger. Couldn't believe how he showed up. What kind of made me mad about the Phantom Stranger? He didn't have that weird clock, the Flavor Flav clock that he usually has, but it's okay. You know, I'll forgive that. But and then we saw who's the other one?
Well, we saw at the very, very end.
The Pharaonic Man.
Yeah, the Pharaonic Man. We saw him at the very end. And there were just hints, I think, throughout of, you know, the talk of, you know, certain just like Easter egg nods, if I can remember correctly. But, you know, if you guys look back and what really, like Kane was saying, in our archive, there is one. It's called The Girls Are All Right. And it's a talk, you know, I sit down and talk about who we feel are like our favorite female superheroes and who we think needs a chance, something to, you know, as Zatanna was, Zatanna was like really, I know that was one of my picks, and I've always loved her. You know, it's not the booty shorts, guys. There's that character is so, there's something special about that character. And then not only that, but she's the friendly link, I think, into the magical world of DC. Constantine is you guys that grew up, you know, listening to the Sex Pistols and the punk rockers and the metal guys. Constantine is that one. I think Zatanna is a great entry level into the darker realm of DC for the girls, for even younger readers, not just female readers, but even just younger readers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I discovered a little bit more of it was because, you know, of Zatanna doing certain things and, you know, through the DC world. I was like, okay, I like her. I like her personality, but then drifted on to that. But yeah, I think Constantine and having a Constantine and Zatanna
series would be cool. Do it right. It could be like Lethal Weapon in the magical world.
Yeah. The only thing we have to bite that big bullet, man. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be Matt. That's going to be the bad thing. It's a bullet we're going to have to bite. And hopefully they'll find somebody that tops them. I've got hope out there that it could be somebody out there that just, you know, I think our problem is we're not seeing that. We need to see the trench coat and the blonde hair. If we sit down and and think of some younger actors, because we're definitely, I think this one definitely should be like in his late 20s, early 30s. But if we throw blonde hair on a couple of actors, I bet you we could find a good.
I'm sure we could. I think we're just so used to Matt Ryan, and then when he first came out, and because he did that Constantine series, and you know, Keanu is what he was for that movie, and I like that movie too, which is kind of crazy. But he wasn't Constantine. He was somebody. The movie was called Constantine, but there were elements of John in there, but it wasn't, you know, the Constantine that I read.
Right. Yeah. Me either.
You know. And then when I saw Matt. And he done the trench coat. I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's Constantine. It's kind of like about the Batman trailer. I keep mentioning that thing. I mentioned it last night. You know, he just doesn't feel like Batman.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we are now 2.5 months after the trailer for the Batman. And Kane, how many watches has it been, or views for you has it been?
95.
And what are your feelings for it?
Still hate it. Still hate it. I watched it towards the end last night when I finished my Zoom calls. Let me just watch it again and again. Elements of Seven. I'm like, okay, there's some things I like. It's just Robert Pattinson sticks out like a sore thumb, and then the whole scene with him just walking amongst the cops, like, hey, what's up, Batman? I think you said it last night. It literally reminded you of like the 1960 series, him walking in with the cops, and it does. I'm like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the shadows. You know, not pop it up and say, hey, man, you know, want a donut?
Yeah, something? I brought you guys a dozen. Yeah, what's up?
You guys hungry?
Oh. So, all right. Yeah, I mean, that is something that we're going to have to, again, we say it every week. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we talked about it, but yeah, it's just one of the things I know you and I just got to wait for it.
Literally. Literally, we're just going to, I think I'm going to still feel this way until the film is actually released, and then maybe I'll be blown away. I don't know.
Who knows? But I want to be blown away. That's the thing. And I know you more than anybody that I know wants to be blown away too. So it's one of those. I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, they just don't like it because it's a sparkly guy. No, that's not the reason why. No, we're fans of the character. I want any comic book movie to do well, so they keep making comic book movies. I am burnt out on Batman. I was a few years ago, and now it's just getting worse and worse. And then when you provide me a new Batman movie, it just misses the spirit of it. And that's where I was like, I want it to succeed, but I'm just like, no, I'm not happy.
I just don't like going back to young Batman. That's my big thing, because we've seen it already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were on the right path, you know, like doing it even 10 years, even 5 years into, you know, I would actually take 10 years into his crime fighting career, more than 5 or 2. I don't want to go single digits. I don't want to go back to year 1 or 2, what like they're doing.
Yeah.
We've seen it, because we've seen in the Nolan series basically is kind of like a year one. You know, the first movie you had literally young Bruce. And now we're just getting into year two. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, different costume. I mean, you know, the costume looks kind of cheap, to be honest. It's very cheap. Like, what did I say, Daredevil cosplay? He does. It just looks cheap. Like, and he doesn't have that Batman presence. Like, when I look at him, I'm like, okay, some dude is just dressing up. He's walking around Comic-Con now. That's what he reminds me of. And it's like, I'm not hating on Pattinson. I'm not. Like, when he was announced as Batman, I was all about it. I was like,
you picked up the flag.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I think he can pull it off. And like I said, I'm going to withhold my judgment. And hopefully next year we will be blown away. But everything I see now, it's just no. 95 times and counting.
Oh. All right. Well, what about trailers? Speaking of trailers, did you get a chance to watch the second Transformers?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I like it.
What was your favorite part? Let me ask you. What was your favorite part?
The inclusion of the new group.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that actually, that was something that I mentioned to you when we talked about when the series just were dropped. I'm like, who are these guys? I think I texted you in the middle of the night. I'm like, literally, because I saw these. You had the Autobot symbol, Decepticon symbol, and you had this other weird one, which looked like a Decepticon, but he had a, kind of like a beard or something. Like, who are these guys? And I guess they're going to be more prominently mentioned in this second season.
Yeah, because we see them walking along, talking to Soundblaster. Sorry.
Yeah, and Soundblaster. I don't remember Soundblaster.
Yeah, he was in the first one. Or you don't remember Soundblaster from G1?
From G1, that's what I'm thinking.
He was the copy of Soundwave, but he was red and yellow.
Oh, he was an Autobot.
Yeah, he was Autobot. Yeah. If you remember from the movie, he was the one that saw the Decepticons coming down with him and Perceptor, and he transformed into that little boombox and then sent a signal to Optimus to say, "Hey, get your ass to Earth and save us." Because we've got the touch.
It's a different version of him.
What he is, he was a prototype to copy what Soundwave was, because Soundwave is such a bastard, basically. And so Devious, they're like, well, we want to make a copy of him. And that's what he was, but he was a broken version of that. So he got discarded. That's why he doesn't look – he looks like Soundwave, but he looks like he's pieced together in the first season of the Cybertronian Wars.
That's what threw me off, because
he's the one that had the symbol on his chest.
Soundblaster, the bright and yellow radio? That's him?
That's what I said there. Some of the stuff they did take a little bit darker twist to, so.
Like Bumblebee with no allegiance, that was kind of strange. Yeah. I kind of dug that, though. Like, you have a hero's journey. Actually, speaking of a movie that I watched again, I watched on Hulu, was I watched Bumblebee again. And I'll tell you what, I love that movie more and more every time I watch it. It just feels like the Transformers.
It was. It was so much fun.
It's just, literally, you could take the G1 series and put it over on top of that movie, and you really wouldn't miss a beat. It literally is almost like the first season of that Transformers G1 part 2.
And I love the simple nod at the end. That simple trailer nod at the end. You're like, oh, is it or isn't it? They didn't ever answer the question. You're always like, is that him? Because it was perfect, you know, because when he did leave, he had to go change his look, and he turned into a
Camaro.
Yeah.
The Trans Am.
Yeah, the Trans Am. Yeah. So it was like nice little nod, and that's how you do Michael Bay. By the way, that's how you do a real Transformers movie. Yes. You pay homage. You bring a new, fresh story that wasn't done before, but you pay homage. Well, same thing we've said about. And I'm sorry, guys, we're beating a dead horse on that one, but you know, whenever you do pay, you know, want to do a sequel or a reimagine or anything like that, you want to pay at least homage to the fans and the product that came up beforehand. I mean, it's just that simple. We've seen it done bad. And people are out there, they know how to do it. Watch Scooby-Doo, watch Cobra Kai. Watch those. I can't speak yet to the new Ghostbusters, but that seems to have, you know, understand it. But then when you look at other things, it just...
Hell, what about the movie we did last night, Halloween?
Because, and again, there's great nods and great references to the old one, and you just have to tons of Easter eggs, and that's just what you got to do. Give the diehard fans that are keeping it alive in the pop culture, you know, the little bit of, you know, love that we want, and then you're going to grab the new fans, because the old fans are going, oh man, God, that was great, that did this, and you just got to embrace everybody. You know, it's not about, you know, which one's better or you know, generational thing. It's just bring it up, man. We're all fans of something of geek stuff or horror, or, and we just all want to see it work. And that's just me. I'm not as spitting venom as everybody.
I would agree with you 100% because the basic thing you have to do is, you know, like you just said, if you're fans of something from the past, don't crap on your past. Don't think these people that you're making the movies for are idiots. Like, you know, don't completely like, yeah, I'm going to do it my own way and just forget these movies happened. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're just going to piss so many people off.
Yeah, because we're the ones that are going to buy those initial tickets. We're the ones that are going to keep you going and probably go back two times just because it was good enough and you paid homage to what we grew up with.
Look at, like you just said before, look at Cobra Kai. Look at Cobra Kai, how is it exploding in the mainstream right now, which is kind of boggles my mind because I've been a part, we have been a part, you know, yes, sensei, sir, part of this Cobra Kai Facebook group for like, what, almost 2 years?
2 years, started two years ago.
Yeah, literally, it started at the infancy. We were the ones that were screaming about Cobra Kai when I was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. And that's a series that could have failed. But those, then again, you got fans.
Very.
They even said it.
Diehard fans.
Diehard fans. And basically, the creators look at that show as their Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's what it is. Like, they know every like meticulous detail and characters and just like.
I'm really interested because of that Facebook group that we're part of. They actually have a lot of some of the producers, some of the writers as members. And they're hearing the diehard fans that have been there, you know, since day one. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do. I mean, I know I goof around with them because they do the typical geek thing. God, what if so and so is Miguel's dad? Oh,
that has been the biggest one in that group. I think for the last, I would say, 5 or 6 months now.
Yeah, it has been.
Terry Silver is Miguel's dad. Yeah, that has been going.
Terry's Miguel's dad. Kreese is Miguel's grandfather. Some of the best ones. I had to get on there and be a jackass. I was like, what if Miguel wakes up and Morpheus is standing in front of him and they just freed him from the Matrix?
When I saw that, I lost it. I was like, yeah, that's typical, Mike. Only he would do that. And a group of diehards just throwing some other Morpheus Matrix stuff. Miguel,
well, because some people were just getting like ridiculous about it. I mean, I understand. We're all fans. Well, I mean, that's the one thing that you and I used to do at the Winchester is what if, you know, we always would do our what if stories. And that's when I just laughed because somebody got mad on that group. And I defended it. I was like, listen, if you're not a fan, that's what fandom's all about. We sit down and we geek out and nerd out about, man, we don't know what's going to happen yet, but let's play the what if game and let's fantasize about it. You know, guys do it about with you know, other people do it with like fantasy football leagues, you know, about, you know, oh, man, what if this happened? What if they got traded over to here? And I've been part of fantasy leagues. So have you. Mm-hmm. We know how everybody is. I laughed when the first time I joined a fantasy league and I'm like, man, this is just like my Dungeons and Dragons guys back in the day, you know?
Yeah, literally. And what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought for a second. You had me going. Oh, I was going to, like, the biggest thing, we're getting back on the Cobra Kai thing, like, they had everybody relating to everybody. They were doing a Star Wars thing, and it's just like, you know, Allie's daughter's Tori, and like, okay, guys, let's calm down here. Everybody cannot be related to everybody.
Yeah, that's
it. The world is not that small. I mean, if you want to relate to somebody, it's fine. Like, just do one person, but, you know, the Terry Silver one is interesting, though, because they talk about him, and, like, his dad left, he was from Ecuador, and I'm like, That's maybe a connection there. That's something that could be interesting. But
maybe he's part of that drug cartel that Dom dealt with in Fast and the Furious. There's something going on there.
Yeah, and Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, we know the Fast series is go jumping leaps and bounds into space soon. So why not join Cobra Kai?
I'm telling you, and I think I told you this before. It's going to happen. Ghost Miyagi is going to show up. I can feel it coming. It's going to be something. Something's going to happen. He's going to go Okinawa or like a breath of wind. You're going to see like a blue light. Daniel's done. You're going to see Miyagi show up. Like, I mean, you had Mexican Miyagi show up for that one scene.
Oh, that was great. I was like, what? Please. Amon, what's going on? No, it's good fishing here.
They should just make him the new Miyagi. They really should. Yeah. Just, like, don't play around with it. Come on.
Just bring him up.
Have Miyagi have like a long lost brother or something.
No, that's Miyagi's. That's Miyagi's long lost child. You know, him and his first wife. You know, that maybe they did have a kid and couldn't keep it, and now the guy's, you know, he was adopted by, you know, Mexican family. And I mean, Miyagi was great at landscaping, so you got to look at that. I mean, look at the Miyagi Do.
Mike at Facebook. You can reach him at the Heroes Asylum page, and you could DM him anytime.
Yes, please DM me.
I'll just send his phone number too.
So what did you think? I posted this earlier this week on our Facebook page, and I've been dying to talk to you about this one. Dying.
Yeah, what's that?
Jamie Foxx returning to Spider-Man. What do you think of the possibility that that is the first casting of the multiverse?
I'm glad we kind of held this off for today. Did you see before I go into it, did you see the posting that Tom Holland made actually on his Twitter page and he took it down?
No, I missed it. No.
Okay. He had
a what did spoiler do?
That's what I'm saying.
Spoiler, what did he say?
Spoiler took put something up and took it down. It was basically he didn't say he had like his pic. It was his picture of Spider-Man, then it was Tobey Maguire's picture, and then it was Andrew Garfield's picture. And then he just took it down.
Like I said, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. When I see that casting of Jamie Foxx, I was like, what a great way of introducing in the Spider-Verse into the live action by bringing Jamie Foxx in. You know, cast him, and then they can start seeing that maybe, you know, a rift happening. He shows up. Well, who are you from? And when he looks at Spider-Man, who are you?
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Not, you're not my Spider-Man. Who are you? And that opens up. That was my first thought when I saw that. I was like, what?
And, you know, we're big fans of Into the Spider-Verse, and this is the first steps. I mean, I think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I have this feeling. It's Feige, and the old saying is, in Feige we trust, but he sees what's going on out there. He sees the reception, how good
but
that animated
movie was. But is this Feige? This isn't MCU. This is Sony.
I know.
I don't think this is Feige's handiwork. I think this is Sony, because Sony realizes they kind of painted themselves into a corner. You have the individual worlds of Venom now. You have Morpheus coming out soon. But Morpheus does show that it is in the Spider-Verse if you pick up on the hints on the walls and stuff. You know, so that is, you know, around Spider-Man's universe. I think that's – I don't know if it's Feige so much. I think this is the Sony group getting – you know, being smart about it. And you got to think, what's next year's PS5 Spider-Man going to be?
Miles.
You know what I mean? They're really stretching out. They've already started production on the Into the Spider-Verse 2. So I really think that they're gonna take their live action and go that direction, because they realized that it was a major moneymaker. It wasn't just how great the animation was on there, but the story. You know, and again,
story. Another movie that I saw the other night too.
Yeah.
Before I went to bed,
it's a great story. But again, it's one of those ones that Spider-Man is Spider-Man. It's Miguel, all he has, I mean, the only thing difference with him is his dad's there. His dad, you know, he's got a family that supports him instead of Peter kind of being on his own. That's really the only thing, but it's still Spider-Man. It's still, you know, not whitewashing, but, you know, color swapping Spider-Man. It's still the same story. It's still the same villain.
Have you ever played the Spider-Man game for PS4, the new one?
No, because I don't have a PS4 yet. That's one of the games, that and the two Star Wars games that are one that's
well,
out.
Let me know if you do get a PS4, let you borrow, because they have a story. The story mode in that game is with, you know, it's but mostly Peter, but Miles is in it,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a distraction in the game at all. Yeah, they weave him in so well.
That's why they're saying that, you know, that's what's kind of like the lead in to bring him over was that little section he had in there. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I think because there's been a lot of talk with, you know, about, you know, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, and, you know, then there's, I think even Tobey made a comment about, you know, he'd really like to try to come back and do something with him. And why would you recast the same actor from a whole nother series of Spider-Man movies to come in and play the same character if you're not going to do that?
Mm.
That's just, it's, if they don't, Sony is the dumbest company ever. Because not only are you wasting a great opportunity, you're confusing your fans then at that point, because now you're going to have the fans that are like, I remember him from this and this. And
what you're doing is you're teasing the fans too. You're like, hey, you know, and everybody's thinking they're going to do it. They're going to, guys, we change our minds.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. All right. We're getting Jamie Foxx coming back, and that alludes to the Sinister Six stuff, I guess, because maybe you know, you have Morbius, you got Vulture out there somewhere. Maybe this guy's still alive, Mysterio. Now, with all this happening and all these Spider-Men, we think, and the game that Miles is going to have his own game, and Miles has been successful on the big screen now in animated form. Do you think at the ending of Into the Spider-Verse, we get our first scene with a live action Miles.
I think, they're definitely going to have to go. I mean, if they're going to enter the Spider-Verse, they're going to go Miles. Because when you talk about Into the Spider-Verse, Miles is next to Peter, Miles is number two. They're not going to go with the other route first. If they're a hit, then yeah, we'll see Spider-Noir. We'll see, Punk Spider-Man. We'll see, Spider-Pig.
I hope we see Punk Spider-Man.
I'll meet you. He's probably one of my favorite ones.
I love Punk Spider-Man.
But yeah. As long as Miles hits off great and doesn't alienate anybody, I think, because it can be it's a very dangerous slope, if you do it right. But yeah, I definitely could see them introducing him and him being a big part. I would love to see them actually do not the Into the Spider-Verse movie live. I would love to see them take the actual books in the Into the Spider-Verse run and do that, because they are still talking about a Madame Web movie. Well, Madame Web's all about the multiverse in the Spider-Verse. So if they're, you remember, I think it was, 3 months ago they cast, or they were starting to start working on the Spider-Verse. And so, again, that's another hint of the Spider-Verse being entered in, because to me, that's all Madame Web does. She is the centerpiece of the Spider-Verse. And so, there's too many pins are lining up for it not to be happening. Mm-hmm. If not, great swerve. They should become a wrestling promotion and kick the shit out of WWE. If Sony, if this is what Sony's doing and it's just a massive swerve, they're outdoing wrestling, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, anything is doing wrestling nowadays. I recently finished watching the Ultimate Spider-Man series that you recommended. By the way, so good. It was on for 3 seasons. Then they had different versions of Spider-Man. Yeah. So good. So good. And they had Madame Web on there, like a different version of Madame Web, obviously. And like in the older series, she was more of the mystical, the giant web. And she still is in this series too, but she's more about like probabilities instead of like being mystical magic.
Right.
Which I thought was that's pretty good. Like she would weigh the possibilities. She wasn't an old haggard woman. She was actually blind, but they kind of younged her up. They Aunt May'd her. That is basically the way.
In
I'll
a way,
say it.
Yeah. In that, yeah.
They kind of Aunt May'd her, and she was mostly all about probabilities. And she was working with S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like, if they're gonna do something like this, I'd be kind of on board with it, because I didn't want to see the mystical old, from the other series, early 90s series, which,
it's probably how she'll be introduced, I think, is that'll be that mystical thing. And then she'll interact with him the way you're talking about. But I think when we first see her, she'll be that person sitting on a throne with webs, and you're seeing the multiverses in inside each web. And, I think that'll be kind of a cool thing. But then, yeah, bring her down to be the Aunt May mentor.
That'd be kind of cool.
Although don't get rid of Aunt May. Don't get rid of Aunt May. Okay, that's
Marissa Tomei is a treasure. Yeah. You have to keep her there. No. When I was watching the series, one of the issues I had with it, they had all the different Spider-Man, which was cool. They had Miles on there. They had another Spider-Man on there, which kind of made me, and I'm not mad, but I don't know who he is. Maybe you do. He was the Wolf Spider. And he was kind of like a dickhead version of Peter Parker.
I don't remember.
Do you remember him? At all from anything? Because no. I'm like, who is this dude?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I can just think of off the top of my head.
It was really strange. It was almost like emo Spider-Man, but he was just angrier.
The Wolf Spider. Yeah, I don't. Not sure on that
his
one.
His name was Wolf Spider. Apparently, he had killed everybody in his universe. I don't know. It was something strange. I just thought of all the Spider-Man that were introduced. You had Scarlet. You had the Iron Spider and all that. And you had this one. I'm like, who is this dude? And
I think he was more a take on, what was it? Shoot, I just drew a blank. The Doc Ock Spider-Man.
Oh, the one from Into the Spider-Verse where she was female, right?
No. Doc Ock became Spider-Man. I'm drawing a complete blank on his name, of what version of the Spider-Man that they called him. But I wonder if the Wolf Spider, because I'm looking at a picture of him now. I'm wondering if that was their version of that. Because I think when this was getting made, that Spider-Man was just coming out.
Because they had the Ben Reilly one on there too. He didn't have the weird suit, of course, but he had a different one. Boo. He was kind of a dickhead too. But yeah, the whole thing, the inclusion of the Wolf Spider was I don't know if he kind of fits. I mean, he wasn't there long, but his story was strange, and just didn't do anything for me. And the whole thing towards the end of season three where, you know, Doc Ock is basically this big tub of fat guy walking around and all of a sudden these nanobites make him skinny and good looking. I'm like, it was this, he's turned into like the 60s version of Doc Ock. He had like the mop top haircut. I'm like, wait a minute. What? A little just strange, just very strange.
Oh, Superior Spider-Man. That's what he was called. Okay. Yeah. So I wonder if maybe if that's what they were trying to do with the Wolf Spider was to try to play off of the Superior Spider-Man. Because that's what he was. He was imagine Peter with his abilities, his looks, but with his knowledge that I can do whatever. I've got the knowledge. I've got the strength. You know, that might have been what they, because I think, like I said, I think the Superior Spider-Man was just starting to roll out in the comic books runs when mm-hmm. that Ultimate was getting.
What was that version that you read that where Doc Ock became Spider-Man?
That is it. So, no, Superior is Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah, Superior Spider-Man where Peter is dying, or no, Doc Ock is dying, but Peter is fine, and Doc switches minds with him, and he takes over Peter's body and basically becomes a better Spider-Man because now he's got all his little, his octopus, like, abilities, like his technology, and now he's got like spider bots all over the city, so he can now relax and have a relationship with Mary Jane. But she's noticing the differences in him, like, you're not, why you're here, why aren't you like having to run out of the building again, you know? And it was really a cool take on it. He shows up a little bit into the Spider-Verse with when they all have to battle and they bring all of the Spider-Men together. He is part of it, and it's, I think he was a fun, different, cool take on Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was just getting your opinion on it because I just didn't know, because I'd never heard of him. And I'm like, it could be an amalgamation of other characters.
And, yeah, like I said, I don't remember him from any of the books. But again, I'm not a Spider-Man fan. There are certain books I've picked up. I'll start reading them. I'm like, if I like it, I like it. If not, you're off to the side. But the Into the Spider-Verse, and then of course, you know, the Superior Spider-Man. It was some of the more recent ones I've liked from Spider-Man. Again, I think Spider-Man is the Batman in Marvel. Dude, he's just everywhere. It's just like way too much. It's like, okay, let's tone it all down and let's just have one guy again.
Well, they're not going to do that now.
No, I know. They're not going to do that now. Like you said last night, you know, Batman keeps the lights on, Spider-Man keeps the lights on, right? You know, those are the guys that keep the lights on. It's just, I just get overwhelmed that they have to have, you know, it seems like they have to be in everything. And I'm just like, okay, well, let's not have to have, I don't need to see them in everything. I understand they're out in the world. Let them be out in the world and do their own thing. If I want to read about them, I'll go find them. But let me enjoy this character's journey and then this character's, you know, villains and adventure. So,
no, I'm with you on that.
What did you think? And I know you do like him because you've raved about, and I am trying to watch the series. It's hard to find. You did hear that John Noble is going to be joining the Boys.
He did.
Did. Well, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back a week. I think I'm looking at some of the news I was looking over. But yeah, he joined the Boys for John Noble in a return of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings reunion there.
Yeah. So what'd you think? I know you're a Fringe fan from the get go.
Oh
so.
Yes, God, I love Fringe, and we have a common friend who got me in.
And you both have gotten me into. I'm trying to watch it. It's just so hard to find Fringe online. Like, you can find almost every other show streaming somewhere, and I am almost subscribed to every freaking place. And
it's not on Netflix?
It's not on Netflix. It's not on Hulu. You can watch the first season, I think, on Amazon, and then you got to buy the rest. So I'm waiting on Vudu because I really enjoyed the first season. I'm waiting on Vudu for a big major sale for the whole series, and I'm just going to just drop it.
It's definitely worth the
Again, I love the first season, you know, everything I've seen of the first season. But yeah, so John Noble coming in as Samuel Butcher, father of Billy Butcher, Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, man. Dread. Hopefully we'll get that Dread one. Yeah, it was good. It was a good series. I mean, the scene wasn't that long, but he was kind of like the dickhead father. Well, which I was like, okay.
Again, it's not a stretch from Lord of the Rings.
Not a stretch for Lord of the Rings. Yeah, he was. What was he in Lord of the Rings?
He was Carl Urban's dad, or no, not his dad. Yeah, he was the. He wasn't the king. He was the
steward
of Gondor. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what happened. Like, I guess the kingship was supposed to go to.
Well, no, there were no kings. Aragorn, right? Yeah. Well, they didn't know because Aragorn. That the whole line had been gone for a very long time in the Stuarts. It wasn't just him. A whole bunch of generations before him were all Stuarts.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. It's been a while. Yeah. had a horrible end. Didn't he kill himself? Threw himself off the balcony? He burned to death?
Yeah. Well, he tried to first burn his son, who was still alive, Boromir, burn him alive. And then as they were trying to save him, he caught fire and proceeded to run off the cliff of Gondor and flew for a moment. And then
how come the eagles didn't rescue him? What's up, man?
Yeah, the eagles. Yeah, the biggest plot hole in the whole thing. You know that it would have been over in like a minute if the eagles would have flown.
Did you? I'm sure you did. They have a YouTube skit, an animated skit. It's hysterical. And it shows the eagles like picking Frodo and Sam up at the Shire, and they just fly over.
I think it's the How It Should Have Ended series. Yeah. I love those.
And they just drop the ring into the volcano. Mm-hmm. You hear like Frodo say, he's like, man, it's about, thank God we had these eagles. Can you imagine walking all the way up here?
Well, it's like today I watch. I know you haven't watched Big Bang Theory, but there's one episode and I love it. It's great because it does sort of in a way mock us in our fandom of something, because we lose sight of sometimes logic because of what it meant to us as a child. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we continue that love and that admiration for that story to as an adult. And we forgive the plot holes. We forgive certain things. And there's an episode of Big Bang Theory where they talk about one of the characters, Sheldon, is sitting down with his girlfriend, Amy, and she's never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark before. And he sits down with her and he's like, you're going to be blown away. You're going to love this. And so she ends and she's like, well, it was fun. I liked it. And he's like, yeah, but it wasn't it great in this. And she's like, yeah, but just that blaring plot hole. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, everything would have ended up the same way if Indiana Jones wasn't in there. If you really think about it, the Nazis would have found the Ark. Nazis would have opened it. Nazis would have died.
Yeah, those Nazis would have died. Yeah.
They didn't and really... that's it. So the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, it's one of those blaring plot holes that we just don't see and choose to ignore because, again, it was just such a magical thing for us. And, you know, I just think that happens sometimes. It hurts, doesn't it, now that I say that?
Oh, man, now that I think of it, you're right. Yeah, Andy wasn't needed. Like, wow.
He wasn't, yep. Even
that whole movie with Adam.
Yep. even the whole point of him getting taken to the Area 51 warehouse. He was actually supposed to take it to the museum, so he didn't even do that.
So what did he really accomplish?
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Got socked in the face by Marion and you know,
almost bitten by snakes.
Yeah, just nothing. It was all worth nothing. So, but
he should have just let them take the Ark. You know what, guys? Go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead and open it up. You'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Because apparently he knew what was in there and what was going to happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's funny. Did you see this week also? And I'm very excited because this has been an ongoing thing, ongoing forever and ever. Finally, it looks like we're going to see the light of day of a Conan movie or TV series from Netflix.
Is Arnold going to be involved?
There's no talk of it. There is a good idea. I was talking to somebody about it. That, you know, they were going to basically, because if you're, I don't know how familiar you are with Robert E. Howard about his stories, the actual the books, not the comics, but the actual
comics
books.
Comics are more familiar.
Well, they're not that far off because they are many stories. It's not like a long, drawn-out story of Conan's life. You know, it's not like if you picked up, like, you know, The Wheel of Time or any of those types of novels or The Lord of the Rings, for that example. They're telling a long story. The Conan stories are very small, itty bitty adventures, and of course that's what kind of the comic book was. But it, you know, the comic book went well past, you know, the writing of Robert E. Howard. But that's what the thought is it's going to be taking place. You know, each episode they're going to be their own little standalone stories going on. I'm sure to keep the attention of, you know, the watchers, there probably will be an intertwining story going on, but that's what if they follow that. But I think, and the person I was talking to made a great analogy or a great suggestion is maybe we can't get Arnold to play Conan, but we can get him to play King Conan and telling sitting around like, in his throne, telling stories at a dinner table or at his throne, or, you know, he's losing his mind and Conan's on his deathbed. You know, King Conan's, there's so many different plots you can take. At least have him there to explain the story and say, hey, you know, back and when I was this, you know, and continue on to the story. That, and then that, it that does
was,
a flashback.
That was a good impersonation, by the way. I like that.
That was horrible first. I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, I get here and I wrote here.
Well, you know, just have him like, if he's just go with that route, but then just find somebody to go, whoever what the kid was that I'm sure the guy's a little bit older now, but I think it was on the Rise of the Machines. Was it Rise of the Machines? There was another guy that was like his body double, but also his face was very Schwarzenegger-esque. You know, you can do that. Or fuck, go. I mean, depending on the money that Netflix wants to spend, and just do computer generation on his face, you know?
Yeah, what did that technology they've used in Civil War with Robert Downey?
Yeah. Could do that. I mean, you can do, you don't, and it doesn't need to be all that great. You know, we can forgive a little bit of not quite looking like him. But yeah, they're talking about that, you know, because I mean we've had a few Conan's one. We had the Momoa one, which not so good, but yeah, no. I forgive it because it was Momoa and he you know I don't fault him for it, but I think if they really did it and stuck to the true Hyperion age and followed it, I think they would be it would do really great because I mean people are still craving for stuff from you know after Game of Thrones. Yeah, a lot of people are still looking for it. And we're still waiting for some of these other novels, like the Wheel of Time. I know there's talk of that one. There's talk of like the First Law, I think. There's a whole bunch of like these novels that they call it Grim Dark type of series novels. That's kind of like what Game of Thrones is. But they've got these whole series that all of them have been trying to get a movie or television series picked up.
Yeah, they're looking for that next Lord of the Rings thing. That's what they're looking for.
Well, you got Lord of the Rings coming down the pike, too. That's Amazon. I mean, Amazon's coming out with that next year. I thought next year is when it's starting.
Is it next year sometime, I believe?
I know they're out. They're filming. I do know that. But again, they're doing the true filming like they did for the series. I think they're out in New Zealand doing a lot of the filming out there.
Well, I don't think they have any COVID thing going.
But I mean, Lord of the Rings is Lord of the Rings. Game of Thrones was its own thing. It was that grimdark. It was like brutal. It was the Sopranos in the fantasy world, basically.
You know what? Well, same channel as Sopranos, so not surprising.
So, I mean, you're definitely going to have that. And right now, I mean, the novelization and I mean, the comic book world's still really big, but novelization's really big. I mean, I think one of the big ones right now on HBO is Lovecraft Country. It's you know that's,
so I actually got a chance to see
you?
That
did you finally
good.
What'd
it's
you think
good.
What, well, how many really, how many did you watch
I watched
two of them okay
two of them I haven't got a chance to see the other ones I think there's only one more left right
I think no there's we're on episode 5 or 6 I think another one came out today it's a 8 to 10 series
okay yeah I saw the first two and
the fifth one's a little rough because there's a lot of subtitles to read because it takes place in South Korea but it explains the history of the soldier so you know kind of explains what he was doing and also kind of his connection to that group a little bit more in depth but yeah it's really great show if nobody's seen it so much
fun. I highly recommend it. I was talking about that show for a while. I was like, oh, great trailer, but I never watched it. But then I actually finally watched it. I'm like, okay, now I see why the hype is all around this show and why this guy got cast to be Kang. Kang a little bit too. I didn't even notice that. Like, wow, he doesn't even really that much makeup.
No, not really.
That weird helmet on him.
The weird helmet, probably, you know, make him purple. They still want to do the coloring on him, you know, make him a little like they did with Gamora.
Yeah,
just Kang's a little little purple, you know.
It'll be in Ant-Man and the Wasp Part 3. So I guess that films next year. Everything's filming next year.
Yeah, we got you know everything got pushed back. I think during while we were gone.
I don't think anything's coming out this year. I mean, they announced a couple of the theaters are going to close down because the James Bond movie's not going to happen now.
Regal's shutting down, and there's even little. They're saying AMC's got about 6 months. Left if nothing big pops for them in 6 months
that's really sad too. I mean we could sit here and talk about like the do's and don'ts of opening theaters and if they should or shouldn't, but you know we won't get into that. But
well, I mean, I know they're trying. They are still doing the classic movies, so I mean if anybody wants to get out and see a movie,
the thing about it is that's not going to keep them open. That's the sad thing. Well, and with everybody pushing their movies back, because you know, thing about what's going on now, we just don't know.
Yeah,
there's no timetable, and I understand. Like I said, I understand the mentality of the studios. They want to make that money back. I get it, but on the other hand, even if things do start to clear up to a point where, you know, we can start doing things, I don't want to say that term, and I'll never say that term, to a point where we can get back. I'm not going to say it.
When things get back to a normality.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to actually just.
I was trying to find a good word for you. Thanks. And I didn't want to use that term either.
No, I'm not going to say that term. But let's, like, even when we get to that point, you know, it's, people are still going to be a little bit hesitant to go to the theaters.
And that's fine. That's why when I went to the movies, I've gone to see Empire Strikes Back.
I went to the movies too.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. I forgot what was playing at Regal. Actually, it was because I have Regal down the road. And
Regal, you didn't spend enough money, motherfucker. You're going out of business.
I know. But I bought a couple of tubes of popcorn, man. Come on. That's basically all they need. Yeah, I saw some, I think I saw Star Wars. No, I saw something else. Anyway, I went in there and just wanted to support it, and there was nobody in the theater, just me. And
well, see, when I went, saw Empire Strikes Back, and it was before they did the big announcement where they had, like, they're like, hey, this is our 30th, 40th anniversary, whatever it was. You know, they did. It was like a month before that, and then I went and saw New Mutants. Both of those, you're not going to get a full theater, but at least the one I had was every other row was not filled, but there was gaps in between people, because now everything's assigned seating, so they know, okay, I'm buying three tickets, okay, well, these three tickets are taken, and now these two over on this side are empty, and then these two over here on this side are empty. So they're really only going to be getting less than half. They're only going to, if anything, I think the number was like 43 or 45% capacity. Mm-hmm. Even with skipping every other row and then the gap in between, so, you know, they're losing over 50% of their seats. And again, theaters don't make their money off of the movies, they make their money off of concessions.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys, you know, if you guys are going to decide to go out there, don't be cheap, don't fill up your back, you know, your purse or anything, because most likely the movie's going to be $5 anyway, so why don't you splurge a little and buy, you know, the extra popcorn. In fact, the last time I went, they were still doing like a $5 deal where you get soda and popcorn for $5. It's like, that's ridiculous.
I didn't get that deal. My ticket was about $5. I got the nachos, which is like $4.50. I got a soda, which is like about $3. Then I got a hot dog. Then I splurged on a beer. So I spent about a good 20-something bucks.
And that, to me, think about what you would normally spend for a new movie. You would spend close to about $20 anyways to just to get into the movie. And I'm not even talking about buying anything. So to me, when I was going there with a friend of ours, I was like, you know, I'm going to buy something. Well, the second time I didn't, because we went out to dinner beforehand. But it was next time I was like, no, I'm going to buy something. I'm going to buy almost close to the price of what I would have gotten for a ticket. And then I'm not feeling so bad because I'm spending the same money I would regardless. And I'm trying to help out because, you know, if AMC and Regal, I know Regal's going away, but if AMC goes away, don't think the theaters are gone for ever. There will, somebody's going to buy those buildings. Somebody's going to put in another theater of some sorts, and they're just not going to have the big overhead that an AMC and Regal have now. They're going to you're going to probably get back to the mom and pop movie theaters.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, that might be not a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to hit the reset button, as they say, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. I've always had the theory. I mean, unfortunately, I think that the whole Mulan thing kind of killed it, but because it's not going to happen. I always said, like, why not release these movies on a sort of like a service that you pay like $11.99 or something if it comes out?
Oh, they did that with Bill and Ted, and that was fine. Disney just got greedy. That's all Disney did. That was all on Disney's fault, and that was a one-time thing. There were two movies that came out around the same time on digital, or yeah, the digital services, Mulan and Bill and Ted. And guess what? Nobody's bitching about what Bill and Ted. Everybody's saying what a great movie Bill and Ted was, and everybody bought Bill and Ted, but they didn't fucking cough out $30.
That's
Mulan. Disney went greedy. I don't understand the reasoning behind the price.
And usually those guys are smart. I want to know who thought about that.
Ridiculous. Like, you're trying to double your price of a ticket and I'm not going anywhere. No, I like you and I said, I would pay the ticket price even. I would still pay the 15 to 20. But I'm already paying $7.99 for your service and then you're going to charge me another 30. You know, that just maybe 30 if you weren't a subscriber and you wanted to watch it. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm a subscriber. I'm paying for your service monthly. You're not going to give me a discount on top of that. To me, I think it's just bad business on Disney's part, and whoever ran and did the Bill and Ted thing, there's been no bitching about that, that people had to pay for that, and people have watched it, and people have loved it.
Yeah. I just don't get what they can't get on that mm-hmm. sort of marketing strategy. There's got to be somebody there who has to have an idea. Like, you know, there's got to be – because you can't keep pushing all these movies back.
No.
There's going to come to a point where, like, hey, you know, these got to come out.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to do if they follow whatever the Bill and Ted market was, right, or model was. I don't know what they made. I don't know what the money was. I'm sure Bill and Ted wasn't looking to break the bank or expecting to break the bank. I know everybody, they're still reporting on Tenet. Oh, look, it hit $300 million. Yeah, it's been out a couple of months. It should have done that, you know, the first week.
Weekend. And that's what it could have happened. But like I said, and I think we discussed it before, you're not going to see those numbers. Mm-mm. For a while.
No.
But and I think these movie studios are a little bit thick, and I get it. They want to make that money back. They owe banks because they borrow money from banks to make these movies and all that, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to think smart. There's got to be a different strategy out there.
And again, like I said, there is. What they did for Bill and Ted is the strategy that worked. It came out. People got to watch it. How much is it? $14.99 on Vudu.
$14.99.
All right. Why couldn't they release that out on? Why couldn't they do that for Mulan? Because you would. I guarantee you would have had more people buy it if it was $14.99 instead of getting it pirated.
And you can even release like different formats too. Like let's just mm-hmm. say if you're a fan of 3D, right? You know, okay, the original movie we released is going to be $14.99. Okay. And if you want it in, you know, 3D, it'll be $17.99. You're not telling me that you can get like a 3D glasses somewhere?
Oh, no, you can. You can buy it. Well, you have to have the 3D TV. That's the downfall with that. You have to have the free. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They do have it. You have to have the 3D TV. And, but then you can do that. But you can offer that because Vudu offers you, SD or HD. When you go to buy a movie or buy a television series, you have the choice of going, oh, yeah, I want to go ahead and, you know, I do want the HD because I have an HD TV. There's a couple of shows I was like, I don't need the HD because the show doesn't really require it. You know, if it's like, I think I bought the Big Bang Theory series. It's nothing special effects about that. So I bought it regular. See here. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, like the box office for the budget for Bill and Ted's, you know, $25 million. Box office, unfortunately, right now 5.2. I mean, it's not doing great.
How much did it? What did it cost the budget?
I said $25 million.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
you kind of cut out on me.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, no, $25 million. It was the budget. So I mean, it's still struggling there. Let's see here. Actually, a report that grossed estimated. Okay, so I take that back. No, that was opening. I guess that was opening weekend. I'm sorry, I take that back. No, it says on September 30th, Deadline Hollywood reported that the film had grossed an estimated $32 million from U.S. digital rentals
up to
that
point. Okay, so
So it made its money back. Not, you know, nobody's going out and buying the big mansion pool now, but they made a profit. So and again, that came out. When did that drop?
That was. Was it last
August
month?
28th? Yeah, no, 2 months.
Yeah. No, 2 months.
So a month and like a week. That's not too bad. You know, give it some time. Again, it's on digital now. Everybody can buy it. More people are going to hear about it, and they're just gonna. And it's, I think, just it'll grow. And I think if Disney did that, I understand Disney right now. They made the movie when everything was good, so they dropped buku bucks. I think movie making from this point on will probably go cheaper. Like I said, I think we're going to see a resurgence of like the 70s movies, you know, like I was saying beforehand.
Like Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown and, you know, just any of the great classic 70s movies, Rocky and things of that nature. Because you got to think back, you know, in the 40s, 50s and 60s, Hollywood was big budget, boom, awesome. Look at this big dance productions, big massive sets. And then, we went through what we went through in the 60s, late 60s, and, you know, the economy crashed, and then the stories got grittier, but they got more down to earth, and they got more handheld style cameras, and I think that's what we're about ready to do. We're going to start seeing these massive budgets. Like you said, we're not going to see the end game, but, you know, money for a very long time, because we're going to go through a resurgence and be more of a homegrown kind of more independent Blumhouse style. I would definitely say we're definitely going to see more Blumhouse
because
they're lower budgets. I mean, and I think that's what we're going to start seeing is more character driven, not so special effect. And I think that's better if, especially if we continue with it, hopefully the Hollywood will understand it. We can have comic book movies and we can have great novel movies without having to have a big production, because some of the best stories are just character driven. You and I talk about it. Couldn't tell you how many times about Batman. Batman, a detective story, low key, is awesome. So, and of course, I bring you back, back around to, to Kane. What'd you think about that? No, I'm sorry.
Well, actually, I just watched it while you were just talking. 98 now.
All right, guys. Well, this is the end of the show. We tried a different format today. I hope you guys liked it. I know I enjoyed it. I don't know if Kane enjoyed it. We're trying to keep it more. Flowing, us chit-chatting, like we would normally do, except we don't have a beverage, just water today. Make sure you guys, it is still showing up on our feed here, but we no longer have a website. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, track us down, want to talk to us, get to, for whatever reason, hit us up on our Facebook or Twitter. It's all right here running on the page. Kane will discuss it with you guys too. But our website is now gone, but nothing more. It's just a little change here, and we wanted to change our format that we're doing. So if you guys like it, give us thumbs up, tell us in the comments below what you think. If you liked it, shoot us a message if you want to try something different, and shoot us a message, because I can make these windows smaller and we can add you into this if you guys want to join us. So
And you want to join asylum for Sunday, or even if that if you're uncomfortable coming on the podcast, there's another one we do. Actually, it's going to be every Saturday, at least the whole month of October. It's Midnight Movies. We're doing all Halloween-themed movies. We're doing Aliens this Saturday, 1979. So if you guys want to pop in, usually I put it on my Facebook page, or I think I put it sometimes on the Facebook page. You guys can pop in. And like you said, we had somebody join us last night, and he loved it. He loved it. He thought, like I guess many of you people think, that it's going to be structured, and really isn't. It's nowhere near structured. And if you listen to it, check it out on the, I think it's on Stitcher, Spotify. It's on Spotify, right? The Midnight Movies. Check it out. There's about like 60 or 70 of them there. And you'll see how we do it. And, it's fun. So check it out. And
It's also, guys, it's not just on Spotify. It is on Google. Google Podcasts. It's Google Podcasts and one other one. It's not on Apple. We got to work on Apple. Apple's giving me issues. But guys, make sure you guys do have a great week. Thank you for excusing us on the break, and hopefully we'll see you guys next week. Okay.
Twitter at @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast and Instagram @TheHeroesAsylum. Guys, we love it. Like and share. And as always, get to the asylum.